You're listening to the Great Day in Sales podcast, brought to you by Alessio. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great Day in Sales podcast. Very glad that you're joining us today. Excited to be talking with our guest out in the New York metropolitan area, New Jersey, working from home today, but he's the VP of sales of BioCentric, Kevin Mulrain. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. Honored to be here.
Yeah, he's been doing the commute into Manhattan for a number of years now, but he's now switched positions just in the last year and is now leading the sales team over at BioCentric, working from home in his house in New Jersey, and we're just excited to have him on. Kevin, why don't you kick things off. Give us kind of your elevator pitch on Kevin, what you've done in your career and how you've ended up to where you are now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got into sales back in 2007. I had no idea what I was signing up for. I wasn't sure if it was for me for like the first 6 months. You fast forward, you know, many, many years later, really kind of built an amazing career in sales. And so I'd say about 14 years within sales leadership roles, you know, anything from building early stage startups or all the way through kind of being that, call it that V2 sales leader to, you know, help build and kind of scale the next level of growth for a business. And so, worked with some amazing companies, had some awesome experiences. You know, you learn a lot from, you learn a little from the wins and the successes, but you learn so much more from the tough, challenging times. And so I think, as I started a new role at BioCentric just a few months back, I'm excited to take all those learnings, all those experiences, and you know, move it into a cool new opportunity.
I love it. That's great. Yeah, congratulations. It's been fun, kind of researching you a little bit, understanding your history, and obviously what you're doing now. So, Kevin, we've been kind of prepping for this podcast, and one of the things that jumped out at me is kind of your passion for building sales resources, playbooks, enabling your team to really have everything that they need to be successful. Kind of walk me through, you know, you're in a newer role as well. So, you know, walk me through the steps that go through your head to, okay, I need to deliver playbooks. My team needs to understand what their expectations are. Kind of what are the steps you take to start building that at a new organization?
Yeah, I'd say the first 30 days easy was, really dig into the trenches with the team. So jumping on calls, understanding what the sales motion looked like, understanding our customers, diving into a lot of historical data in terms of, you know, how the team has been performing, and really try to come up with, you know, a few areas of, you know, what could we enable the team with more? What are areas of our sales process that, you know, if we can increase, you know, conversions here or do this part of the process better, you know, what's the positive impact it has on revenue? And so, you know, to go and try and increase sales as like, you know, try and boil the ocean, like that's kind of, it's really, really tough. But if we can start to, you know, pinpoint some key moments in our process, that'll have a big impact for us. But also too, like, really start to just identify like a more consistent way of doing things, like understand from each seller how they move through the process, what works really well for them. Because it's a little bit different for everybody, but if you can start to define a little bit more of best practice, and get a little bit more, you know, kind of a universal approach, still having kind of like the guardrails for people to put their own spin and their own kind of personality to it. But, you know, I'd say the first 30 days at first were just understand and start to document like what's really happening today.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. As you kind of think about the resources that you provide, what fills up your playbook? Like, is it very tactical? We don't share pricing, you know, in email. It's got to be over the phone or it's got to be in a demonstration. Like, that being an example, is that what fills up the playbook and kind of the motions? Or what's some of the approaches you said to really be unified, make sure you're kind of doing a similar process? Like, what fills up your playbook typically?
Yeah, so the way I approached this was start higher level, right? Like what I really try to do was kind of document, you know, from everything from, let's just say, discovery through that first call, what a demo looks like, how do we close, how do we talk about pricing, but just kind of define what that sales motion should look like. And then as I rolled it out to the team, I really tried to gauge like not only do they understand what I mean, but do they know how to take action on this, right? And so like an example that I encountered recently was like really talking about deal plans, right? How do we create deal plans so that way when we're talking about our pipeline and we're doing pipeline reviews, you know, how are we identifying the gaps in our deals? How are we, you know, defining, understanding what do we need to do next that's going to help increase the odds of a favorable outcome for us? And I talked about it in concept with them, but they couldn't put it into practice. So that was one example that was a little bit high level. But then once I understood they need more tactical templates or examples, like more detail on how to actually apply this, then I start going deeper in certain areas. So at first, it's just a bit more high level. And then as I'm kind of going through with the team, just identify those gaps on whether it's, do they actually understand this? And then two, if they do, they actually understand how to like put this into practice. And if we're kind of meeting those two marks, I'll continue to move on. But I start identifying the gaps on where we need to add more clarity and get more tactical. So as I've built kind of like V1 of the playbook, and then as it's evolved, it's gotten a lot more detailed into more tactical items for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. What's been your experience? I'm sure you've been in roles hiring a lot. Joining a newer company, you're still kind of early days, first couple of months in, the personnel is kind of already there, right? It's less hiring. You're trying to figure out how to manage this kind of group of individuals already in place. What are the distinguishable challenges between those two? I mean, hiring obviously takes a lot of time interviewing, things like that, but that's almost, it feels like kind of you're scaling a playbook as opposed to quickly trying to create something to implement across the whole team. What's your experience been like?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been in situations or environments where, you know, I was hired and it was like, build the team from scratch. And so, you know, you start to kind of build your playbook and envision, you know, what your sales process looks. And as you're hiring folks, like, you're trying to find folks that can kind of fit that mold, right? Whether it's like your sales cycles, your deal sizes, but like someone who has a experience with a similar motion. Here, right, I absorbed a team and I've got a very tenured team, which is awesome, right? A lot of the folks on this team have been here for 10, 14, 15 years. And so they've been doing things a certain way for a very long time. So there's a lot of change management as I'm introducing new processes, new ways of doing things. And so, you know, for me, it was like, A, it was just really like getting their feedback, like bringing them into the process. Like nobody wants to be told what to do. People want to be a part of like building the new way of doing things. And so bringing the team into the process building was a huge part of it, understanding what's working for them, what's not. But even as we introduce new things and change them, we were really intentional on being able to communicate not only how this is going to be better for the business, but also for them specifically, right? Like if we introduce a new way of doing things, it was like, hey, and the reason we're doing this is because it's going to help you close deals faster, get to quota better, right? And we kind of brought it back to like why it's important for them. And so I think those two things combined like helped get a lot of buy-in to new ideas and new concepts, as opposed to me building something in isolation and just, you know, force feeding and saying, here's how you do it today, right? Because you're not going to get a ton of adoption. So I think that was a really big part of our process, was just, again, like collecting a lot of their feedback and in a way, kind of helping them diagnose like where they're going wrong, right? And it's a lot easier to get somebody to change, right? It's just kind of more human behavior, right? If someone's like, hey, like, I'm not doing this well today, I'm struggling here, right? Kind of like they identify, hey, you've got a problem, right? Then they're going to be a lot more open to a new way of doing things. So again, the change management piece is really, really top of mind as I'm introducing these new things. And it'll continue to be for a while, but that's how we've approached it. And, you know, we had a sales kickoff a few weeks back, and that was like kind of a moment for me where I was going to see like, am I really getting buy-in from the team, right? Like, are they actually really believing and buying into these things? Are they actually using them? And the response was awesome. Because I think a big part of it was too, it's like, I got in the trenches with them and I was walking the talk, right? Like, it's not just saying, hey, go do this and be best for you. I would jump on calls and I would actually do the things I'm asking them to do. And they're seeing that we're getting a better response or a favorable outcome. So I think them actually seeing it in practice has also been super helpful with that, like that change management piece or introducing new concepts.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I think the managers that still have it, right? The ones that get into the trenches, they're always in the bullpen. And then you have to manage that, right? You're not jumping on your team's calls are kind of overwhelming and things like that. I think that's great. And the SKOs, the stories of SKOs I've heard about this year, I'm looking forward to being a part of our first one, hopefully this next year, as we're building out our sales team. So very excited, you know, thing to be talking about. But what, you know, the question popped in my head of what, as you're kind of enabling your teams, building out playbooks, understanding what the go-to-market looks like, what do you feel like a lot of teams are missing? You've led enough groups now, hired, you've joined this group now that's much more tenured. What would be your best guess as to, you know, what teams are missing in that enablement realm? What do you feel like would be a quick kind of low hanging fruit thing for managers listening to the podcast out there that they could add to their resources right now?
I think it's the constant reinforcement of these practices, right? Like it's really easy to document this stuff and throw into a playbook and, you know, share it with your team and have it accessible. But you know, if you're not reinforcing, you know, those learnings or those processes with the team, they're probably never going to actually implement it. So, and there's a lot of different ways you can do this, right? You know, for us today, we're at a state where we're going over certain topics, and whether it's on a one-on-one basis or in a team meeting setting, but like we're role-playing these things, right? Like we're actually role-playing and making sure, like, you know, a big one for us is like, all right, at the end of every single call, like make sure we're getting next steps on that first call, right? We're too often, we were just like, oh, we'll send you some information, we'll catch up soon, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, that's a really specific one that we're now role-playing, right? And we're practicing. And, you know, I've always said to the team, like when you're on calls, your performance on those calls are going to fall back to your level of training, right? If you may know to do these things, but if you're not constantly practicing and training or giving yourself even visual aids, right, on things you need to do in your sales process, then you're never going to actually do it on the call. And so I think for us, it's a lot of today, it's a lot of role playing, a lot of practicing. You know, the other thing that's really interesting that we've seen work really well as a team, like by me joining these calls, like kind of having two people on the calls to listen for different things is really helpful. You know, we sell to execs in the biopharma and pharmaceutical space, brand new market for me, right? So I really have to, you know, kind of rely on my team to be, know the industry, know the space, know their customers, know the prospects, and it's all the stuff that I'm learning. But for today, like that's where I need them to shine. And then where I come in is like, I can then kind of make sure, are we actually following the sales motion in the best possible way, you know, to get a good outcome? So if we miss something, I can kind of pull us back and ask a certain question or make sure we're getting those next steps. Like, so I think having the two of us on the call is also helping. Because again, then they're seeing it in practice and they're actually seeing, oh my gosh, like it works, right? Like those are the really cool things. And then I think the final part's like we're sharing wins, right? Like I had one of my reps come on to a team meeting and he's going through one of his deals and he's like, and then I got the next steps on that call. And like, we're all celebrating. So we're celebrating the little wins of like executing these things. There's a lot you can do with like different tools and conversational intelligence to kind of track and coach, like, are they saying this? Are they doing that? We're just not there yet. So there's definitely like another level to all this, but even, you know, the low hanging fruit, as you said, like even today, you build it, constantly reinforce it, role play situations, practice it with a team, and then finally like, get in there and actually do it with your team, right? That's a really important part of it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like all the examples you listed. Kevin, if I could put you on the spot.
Yeah.
This is probably something hard to think about right now, but I'm going to try it with you. Could you kind of divide out your time on coaching, you know, kind of maybe hopping on demos. I don't know how, because I feel like for managers listening, that is a challenge, right? I mean, even a lot of managers still, with how everything's going in the last year, may even kind of give them, maybe it's not an official quota, but like they're bringing in deals and closing deals occasionally, or they're doing some of the coaching. It's the whole player coach thing. How do you kind of divide out your time percentage wise to coaching, to one-on-ones, to things like that? Do you feel like you could even comfortably do that?
You know what? It's such a timely question, because I think, you know, today I was kind of in this moment of like, oh my gosh, like I'm trying to do everything. Like I'm all over the place. Right. And so, to your point, like the challenge is real. Like it's something I think a lot of people, really, really struggle or challenge with. But I think for me, you know, part of it is just like the one-on-ones are like, they're on the calendar, like just the really important moments, they're on the calendar. And I make sure that I've got a really good structure to things like my one-on-ones, the team meetings, like the structure of the agendas, like there's a lot of time that goes into that. There is a lot of building, right? Whether it's building playbooks, building resources. There's a lot of like working on the business, if you will, that's happening today. And I think what helps me with that is I'm constantly sharing with the team the things that I'm working on, the things that I'm building. Because if for whatever reason they're like, hey, that's not really going to help me, I'm not going to spend my time on it, right? So like making sure I'm working on high priority things that the team is going to get value from and they actually need, want, and are going to implement, like that's a good kind of barometer for me to make sure I'm working on the right stuff. But you know, I think the other part of it is too, it's like I've got our big objectives, you know, for the year. And I've got, you know, some areas of the business that we do need to work on in order to achieve those objectives. And so in a way, that's kind of my North Star. And so I do, with the best intent, not always works out this way in practice, but like, so, you know, I do try to spend, you know, at least an hour or two, maybe every other week, to kind of just take a step back from like being in front of the computer, my to-do list, my calendar. And I look back at that North Star and I'm like, okay, am I doing all the things I need to be doing to this? Are there things that are taking me away from that? And it's just kind of, for me, time to clear my head and just make sure I am on track. But I think that's definitely one of the biggest challenges, you know, for sales leadership. Cause you know, between SDRs, AEs and new business team, I've got the AM, CSMs, renewals, working closely with marketing, working closely with product, aligning with my CFO. Like you can easily all of a sudden be like all over the place.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but I also too, like I've got a really good team here where, you know, between my head of product, my head of customer experience, like we work together and we have a weekly where we're just sharing a lot of the stuff that we're working on. And that's another really good, call it maybe accountability, but also like another gut check of like, hey, here's the things that we're working on. And I can get a different perspective or opinion of like, is that really going to move the needle? Is the time really best spent there? Because we just can't do everything. We really can't. And so part of it is like having that support group in a way, but also like just knowing the things like you're just not going to be able to get to and spend time on, and like being, you have to be okay with that too. And that's hard for me because I just want to go and help and fix everything.
Yeah. No, that's, I think sometimes teams look at the sales leader and say, hey, fix this, right?
Where's your magic wand?
Yeah. Revenue and K, bring it in. Let's go. No, that's great that you're making time for those meetings. And, you know, I mentioned on LinkedIn today, it's like, I personally love trying, really making sure that the recurring meetings make sense, because you can easily show up and there's no agenda and you just end up talking. And so if it's targeted, like I'm going to meet with my CFO at this cadence, I'm going to meet with the product team at this cadence, we're going to get these stakeholders together. And it gets scary too if the stakeholder meeting all of a sudden turns into an all hands, because you got to loop everyone into it. And then what should you do asynchronously? And, you know, so it sounds like you've kind of mapped it out. You're doing a really good job of meeting with everyone, understand what everyone's working on. And for your sales cycle too, maybe it makes more sense to be really integrated with the CS team and, you know, with various teams to help deals close. So I think that makes sense. Kevin, we typically ask the question, what is a great day in sales look like? We've kind of covered how do you build the playbooks? How do you enable the team? You're walking into kind of a fully built personnel's there versus building. But at the end of the day, you know, it can't always just be a panda doc signed, for a 5-6-7 figure deal, right? It's like it's those daily activities, those things that we do every day that creates a great day in sales. So how would you answer that question?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. And I think that a good day in sales is a day that you learn something, you know, because of course, like closing the deals is the big macro goal, but to be able to do that at a high level and in a repeatable way, you have to constantly be learning. And whether you're learning more about, you know, the personas that you sell to, or how to, you know, whether it's like your cold call script and you're learning about different ways to get better, you know, connect to meeting ratios, or like, it's just about learning your process more and more and getting better. And I think, if you can celebrate those little wins of learnings that get you a step closer to the big macro goal of closing more deals and getting the quota, that's the important thing, like long term, right? Like the reality is, like, you can get lucky on closing a deal from time to time, right? And you're also going to close those deals that you thought had no shot. But if you are learning every day and you're taking that serious and you're applying those learnings, you're just going to find your wins a lot more consistent. So I'm all about learn something every day. That means it's a good day in sales.
Learn something. I love that. I've always really appreciated that 1% rule of learn, you know, get 1% better every day, and you can kind of see how that goes, you know, up and to the right. I think just simplifying that down to even just learn something every day.
Yeah.
I think it keeps you from getting stagnant. It keeps you kind of searching, seeking out that additional one more level up. I think it's a great way to answer the question.
Yeah. It's interesting too, right? Cause like I was talking to my team, and you know, we were looking at pipeline, we were doing like a win loss analysis. And this is kind of on the topic of deal plans that we were talking about. And one of my reps said something that like, it really hit home with me. And he was like, look, the deals that we won 12 months ago, we're not going to win those deals this year, right? Like the game has changed. Markets have changed. Buying process have changed. Like you got to work a lot harder to win the same amount of deals you did 12 months ago, 18 months ago, whatever the time frame is, right? So no matter what, things are always going to be evolving and changing. And you just got to get, and you know, the theme for us there was like, we got to get better. We got to know our deals better. We got to know our buyers better. We got to know what they care about, what their challenges are, what they need to properly evaluate this better. Like we have to just go deeper in identifying those gaps. And when my rep was like talking about this, I'm like, this is exactly why we should be doing this. Right. And so, you know, the things that worked for you last quarter probably won't work this quarter. Like it's a constantly evolving game. And so if you're not constantly learning, you're going to get left behind. So I think that's, it's an interesting, bring it all, the whole thing together, right? The resources, the learnings, all of that. It's so crucial, as the game evolves.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can scale playbooks. They can be replicable. There's ways to, there's also that change in every scenario. I mean, same thing with an ICP, right? You're constantly evaluating, hey, we just changed our product slightly. Does that change the ICP? And then it also comes down to that sales motion, right? Like what is the go-to-market sales-led growth? How does that look different year over year? And it certainly does. I love that someone on your team kind of felt comfortable coming up and saying, hey, what we won last year is not going to be who we win this year, or how we win it, or... So I think it sounds like there's a high sales IQ on your team, and I'm sure you're benefiting from that.
I've got a great team. You know, people are super smart. They're engaged. Like they're totally bought in. They're super motivated. And so it's an amazing team to work with. I'm super fortunate.
Cool. Well, shout out to your team, Kevin. BioCentury. We appreciate you coming on the podcast as well. Thank you so much. The insight's been great. I think a lot of things to take home, just kind of the importance of having that playbook. we hear time and time again, it's February, people are still waiting for their commission schedules and kind of how things look for the year. And so it's great to hear that you did your SKO, everything's rolling, you know, your team's really thinking about how you're going to go about 2024. And we wish you the best, that you can find success.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's exciting. It's always a grind, but it's a ton of fun and ton of excitement. So I appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Very rewarding, you know, role that you're in, and anyone really in sales, it's a grind. It's a challenge, but there's a pretty cool finish line if you can be successful year over year. So, all right, Kevin, well, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the Great Day in Sales podcast. Check us out at podcast.alicio.ai or anywhere you stream podcasts.